Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Tattoo Chronicles, history written in ink from Page Publishing author Susan Altman, is a fascinating read that explores the endurance of tattoos as a cultural and personal expression, starting with the indigenous natives and ending with their personal stories of individuals and their tattoos, showing that ultimately tattoos are a biographical map steeped in tradition and ritual. Susan has had a 40-year career in education, both with the New York City Department of Education and as an assistant professor and learning disabilities coordinator at Fashion Institute of Technology. And Susan Altman, author of Tattoo Chronicles, History Written in Ink, joins us on This Week in America. Susan, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Rick. Nice to be here. Thank you.
What a wonderful book you've written. This is fascinating. One of these you pick up, you think, I'm going to read a couple of chapters now, then I'll get back to it. And suddenly you're 7, 8, 9 chapters into it, and you don't want to close the cover on it. A wonderful job with this. What was the inspiration? Where did this idea come from?
Okay. Well, it was during the pandemic, and I had a lot of time, and I decided to start writing my memoirs, which was actually my first book. Over Here, Ready or Not, Here I Come, The Children of Queens Boulevard.
Yes.
And I had like a lot of stories in my head of why people from that neighborhood got famous. A lot of them did in their fields, in all different fields. And what were the cultural references that we all went through? And as I went through that, I started thinking, well, my children obviously went through different references of culture and politics and everything. And what were their benchmarks and how did they show them? And the way I was always a collector, and the way that I showed my memories were in very innocent things like autograph books and charm bracelets, but they were there to keep. They were artifacts of my life. And I started wondering, you know, what about my children? And my younger son, Adam, has a bunch of tattoos always, you know, and I kind of ignored them. And then I thought, well, they're obviously there for a reason. And he probably got them because they were something that he wanted to memorialize and become permanent in his life. Yes. As well. And they probably reflected things that he was influenced by as he was growing up. So I started a dialogue with him. This was the second book. And I started a dialogue and we went back and forth. When did you get this tattoo? What did it mean? And basically, I hate to say it, but there was nothing learned that was new, because obviously I know my child and we have a nice relationship.
But yes. So
if there's going to be a book, I have to get more interesting than this. So I started researching tattoos. Basically, I started with the indigenous people and I went down a rabbit hole. It became so fascinating to me that how did it get to this era? And are the people who get their tattoos now memorializing them the same way I did with autograph books and charm bracelets?
Yes.
And that's when I started really interviewing people, which is the heart of the book.
The book is available wherever books are sold. I'll send you to Susan's website. It's Susan Altman, A-L-T-M-A-N, books.com. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You'll go directly to Susan's website, also her Amazon page, and you can get information on the book and order that there as well. You mentioned in the beginning a quote from Johnny Depp, who says, "My body is my journal and my tattoos are my story." That sounds like that was the case with your son. Did you find that was the case with many people? The tattoos really told a story.
Everybody told a story. And interestingly enough, they were the same stories as people all through history told. They were stories of memorializing something that happened in their life, either a good thing or a bad thing. Some were coming of age tattoos. Some were getting over trauma tattoos. Everybody wanted a sense of empowerment. There was women's empowerment, which happened all through history. The Victorian ladies in Europe and who came to this country had hidden tattoos. And Winston Churchill's mother had a tattoo on her wrist, and she covered it with bracelets. And these women hid it from their husbands.
Yes.
So women's empowerment was important to me. Another example is in the era of sideshows, which is kind of when I became aware of tattoos, and it wasn't a very nice thing. The women, they were the first women who had their own businesses and made money on their own. They were, you know, they were stars. And even though in personal life they may have been looked down upon, in their careers, they were empowered. They were on their own. They had autonomy over their own bodies. So that was another one. And just, you know, in the old days, it was battles won. People would mark their tattoos for each battle, and it was a sense of identity. And people have a sense of identity now. Their tattoos mark what bands they like, what kind of music, and so forth. And political statements, peace signs, anything. So it's the same thing that went all the way through. And I don't even know that the people I interviewed were aware that they were following tradition, but they were.
You know, it's interesting. It's a fascinating story. It evolves basically by decade. You can sort of see the progression to where we are today. You mentioned women being involved, and suddenly they're empowered. They're not going to put bracelets over their wrists so other people can see their tattoos, and you've got it broken down so well. The book is Tattoo Chronicles, History Written in Ink by Susan Altman. Your first encounter you talk about with a tattoo was your dad. He had a tattoo, and you didn't like it. Talk about that experience.
Yes. He had a tattoo of an Indian facing out to the world on his bicep, and it was primitive by today's standards. That I realize that now, but I hated it, and I would get embarrassed because, it's so cultural. I grew up in the late 50s and early 60s, where it was a very conservative time, and people with tattoos were thought to be like bikers and jail people who were in jail. And my father wasn't any of that. And I just wanted it covered because I was afraid of what other people would think and what I thought. And that carried over, basically, when my son got tattoos. One son, the other one didn't. And when he got tattoos, I just didn't even want to look. And I found that was something that was a thread that went through also. When I started writing this book, I kind of threw it out there when people said, okay, what's your second book going to be? And I said, oh, it's on tattoos. And I found that, you know, one or two mothers said to me, you know, I didn't know my son had a tattoo until he landed up in the hospital after an accident. And I saw it. And
yes.
That's how, I mean, the same thing with my son. I didn't really see his tattoos until he was sick one day and he called me and I had to come and help him. So, you know, it's definitely a cultural thing. And even after I wrote the book, I was sitting somewhere and reading it, and a man came up to me and he said to me, is this going to help me understand my child better? And I said, I think it will. So I kind of wrote it for that audience as well. The fathers and mothers and grandparents who look at their children and grandchildren and say, why? Maybe they'll have a better understanding of why.
That's interesting. It sort of enlightens our understanding of their world, their perceptions, what they see as popular. But they may not communicate verbally with you, but you can look at their tattoos and sort of see where their interest lies. When you started this, I'm sure you had a concept, maybe not a hard, fast outline, but a concept where you were going to go with this book. Talk about that. Were you surprised? Were there detours along the way when you realized something? I didn't know this before, and this now has to be part of the book, has to be a chapter in the book?
I'm not quite sure. As I said, I started writing it, you know, with a story with my son. So the story was always in my head. And then I went to the history, and then, I don't know, I started talking to people who had tattoos, and I saw that it was going to be a personal journey. I didn't see the connection between the stories that the people were telling me and history until I was pretty much through it, kind of. And then I saw, oh my goodness, you know, these are the same reasons. But I really found the stories fascinating. That's my favorite part. I just found that they were so open, and I thank them so much for trusting me. It's funny, you know, after the book was written, I spoke to one of the people who participated and I said, what was your friends, what were their reactions? And she said, well, they said you were really vulnerable and that's kind of amazing. And I said, and my friends said to me that I was very receptive and non-judgmental. And I think those two factors put together made a book.
How difficult was it to find people with tattoos to talk to? Here you are, in most cases, a stranger coming up. You're asking them to share something personal, maybe something they haven't really thought that much about until they started the conversation with you and they realized why they chose some of the artwork that they did. How difficult was it to find people to talk to?
Well, some were through people. Some were people that I knew kind of peripherally because, you know, some were somebody who worked in my dog grooming salon, two people who worked in a stretch class that I go to. Some were friends of my son. One was a person that he met just because he had an X on his wrist and he was in a grocery store and he met this person who was fascinating. Basically through, I put it out on Facebook because I wanted different demographics. And most of the friends of my children are obviously younger than I am. And I wanted to see people from different generations. And my friends, I put it out there and I got a reaction from one person who said, you're a very unlikely person to be writing a book on tattoos, which I agreed. And then I said, but it isn't really because it's history, it's sociology, it's people, it's all of those things. And then one person said to me, she came back and as a surprise, and she was 80 years old. And she said, I want to share my tattoo. She said, her story is in there and it's really interesting. And a cousin of mine said, and she was a coming of age at 40. So I wanted a demographic of, you know, and interestingly, well, they're mostly women, but again, surprisingly, mostly women of this generation have tattoos. I think 37% of women have tattoos and from millennials on.
It's amazing. And we see that progression, that evolution in Susan's book, Tattoo Chronicles, History Written in Ink. Susan Altman, A-L-T-M-A-N, our guest on the program. Her website, SusanAltmanBooks.com. A link on our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. Book, of course, available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Let's talk a little bit about when you were writing this book and you decided to use the illustrations. It's beautifully illustrated. Talk about that because the book is an art piece in itself.
Thank you. Yes, I started with, you know, the history. So, of course, I got some historical photos. But then I have this wonderful friend, Sylvia De Silva, who's a fabulous artist, and she became interested. She's another one who said, no, I don't have a tattoo, but I'm thinking of it. And, you know, she's a contemporary of mine. She wants to memorialize an event in her life. So she was vested in it. And she made the tattoos of the generations that I went through, but she put them in modern art form. And you're right, they are art pieces in themselves, and she does artwork. that's her thing.
In the many chapters in the book, and as I say, this sort of leads you through the progression, one, tattoos as performance art. Talk about that, because that really is, and I think it's just maybe within the last decade or so where it's been recognized as performance art. They're not just random pieces of color that people have on their bodies. It really is performance art, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there came a time, I mean, as I said, we went through generations where they were, you know, looked down upon, yes, where they were utilitarian things. During the Social Security, when it first came out, people tattooed their number on them because they were losing their cards. So it went through all different things. And it was only in kind of like the peace and love era where it became of interest to real artists who saw the tattoos on famous people. I mean, Janis Joplin was the first woman who had a tattoo and showed it on a cover of a magazine. And then with MTV and all of the videos of people who had tattoos, Ozzy Osbourne and people like that, regular fine artists became interested, and it became a melding of the two. And that's what started off as, outlier became performance art.
And along the way, you have a chapter, 1980s media influence on tattoo. Talk about that and how important that was, because suddenly we're seeing it on mainstream media. So people who might have been skeptics are like, okay, I need to be open to this because it's actually part of society now.
Yeah, well, I think it started with the, the youth, yes. The generation, the MTV generation that was watching all these people, and they were their heroes. I mean, they were dressing up as Madonna, so seeing tattoos on her or whatever, was cool. That was okay. And then after that, it became not just one genre of music or one anything. It became kind of broad. And so you defined yourself almost by the kind of music that you listened to. And for this, I had to go back and talk to other people. And again, I spoke to hardcore rock people, and I spoke to a hip hop guy, Ernie Super Cooper. And I did my research, but I wanted to check with him. He was an early, and he's still working at it, hip hop artist. And he just okayed everything that I said, and it's in there. It's really interesting. I learned a lot.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. What did you learn? I'm sure you had some ideas, maybe what you're going to uncover as you were writing the book, but it appears this was sort of an educational experience for you too, a history lesson for you, a walk back in society and pop culture. What was it like for you? What did you learn, and were there any surprises?
What I learned was that I personally love researching and love talking to people and love putting together these ideas. So that was a personal journey. I learned that to be open to things that I don't understand. I learned that I should probably ask my father where he got the tattoo, because there was some mystery around that. I think my parents kind of cleaned it up for me. My sister agrees that they kind of cleaned it up for us, that he in the early days of New York, there were tattoo parlors, not the early days of New York, but his early days, there were tattoo parlors all the way downtown, and they were in bars. And to get people to go into them, there was a tattoo artist on the side who would tattoo people. But I wasn't told about that, though it was his era, and it could have been. We were told that when he was in the Navy, he had it done. Either one, I don't know, but that could be a surprise. The other surprise was small details, like during my research, like the royals were fascinated in England and with tattoos, and it's very likely that King Charles and Harry have tattoos now, and it's all through the royal family from generations that there have been people who have been fascinated by tattoos. So it's those small things and the bigger things in my family.
In chapter 17, you talk about my story. Do you have a tattoo? What is your story? I have to ask, what is your story?
Oh, my story is no tattoo, but I'm open to it. And I have given a lot of thought as to what kind of tattoo I would get. And this goes along with my philosophy in life, I guess. At this point, to memorialize or to put things that are interesting in my entire body would be covered, because it's a long journey. But I think it's important to me to move forward. And the Maori Indians, natives, believe that putting tattoos in different parts of your body were important. And the lower part of your body, among other things, is movement. So I would probably place it on my ankle for movement, moving forward. And I would probably do a very small sun with rays, moving towards lightness and openness and happiness.
Well, I like that, and how thoughtful that is, and you bring that out in the book, how people really give thought to what they want. Again, it's not just a random spur-of-the-moment decision. This is something they give a lot of thought to, and they add to it with the birth of a child, a new job, going off to school. Again, it is sort of their personal history, and in essence, ours as well. You dedicate the book to the people who showed me the heart of the tattoo community and who made me fall in love with it. Talk about that and what this process has meant for you.
Okay, well, I learned from them of their pain and that they shared it with me and that they wanted to put it out into the world to show that it's okay to go through trauma and it's sometimes healing to put the pain someplace else, outwardly instead of inwardly. That was one. I learned about my own children. I learned that Adam, my younger son, really is the same person he was at 19 when he got his first tattoo. I learned that my older son, though he has no tattoos, was open and wonderful about sharing his skills with me and helping me put things together and the video that I have, the unwrapping. I mean, that they are there to help me. I learned that the community of people, there's a whole society. They, now that we have the internet, you know, people use it as, well, they want, all right, the people that I spoke to wanted to give credit to their artists in some cases.
Yes.
That they had gone to for a long time, and I did that. And it's a whole community. There are conventions and everything, but they're also open and connected and thoughtful. And I really did give them a lot of credit for writing the book, and I do.
You mentioned the video. You'll go to social media for Susan Altman, Instagram, Facebook. You will see the unboxing video, and I love that. I always like to ask about the excitement when an author gets a book, that the books are shipped there, and you've got this box, and you open it up. There's your book, your name on the cover, a published author. What was that? I can tell by the expression that in the video, this was a highlight of your life. Talk about that, the elation that you go through as a published author, and you're seeing your book published for the first time.
You know, it's funny, the process of writing the book, you do it in your own house, and you don't think that anybody is ever going to read it.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it's out in the world. It's like having a baby. And now it's out there. It was so exciting, but now it's out there for public consumption, you know, and that's a little frightening. So, yes, the video, the opening was wonderful. It was coming to life of a year's worth of work. But now, you know, it's a whole other excitement of seeing how the world responds to it.
What were your goals in writing this? And what do you hope the takeaway is? People read this book, Tattoo Chronicles, History Written in Ink. What do you hope the takeaway is when we get done reading this?
Well, as I said, it's for my generation as well. For people who are into tattoos already, I want them to see that they're connected to a whole history and a rich and wonderful history of people with tattoos. But for people who don't have them, who look at people with tattoos and go, why? I want them to see that there's a reason for it and open up their eyes to what these tattoos mean to the people around them.
It's a wonderful book. The book is Tattoo Chronicles, History Written in Ink by Susan Altman, our guest on the program. Susan mentioned her first book, which is still available, Ready or Not, Here I Come, The Children of Queens Boulevard. Would love to talk about that someday because it's so, most of us grew up in a neighborhood and that neighborhood was our world. And that was your case, wasn't it? A bigger world probably than mine and had better transportation than mine did. But we all grew up in our little segment of the world, and that's not necessarily the case anymore, is it?
No, and it's interesting because, you know, that one I do have reviews on, and some people who grew up in Paris, in Asia, you know, have said to me, I had the same influences and felt the same way, you know, so it is more universal than just one neighborhood in New York, but that was a pretty fascinating experience, you know, growing up in there. And at that time, when the world was changing so rapidly from the beginning of the book to the end, You know, it the world changed.
And I grew up during that same era, and it changed dramatically. Almost when you look back, maybe on a month-to-month basis, something was coming in. I mean, when suddenly we have television, suddenly we have color television, suddenly we're putting somebody in space. I mean, it's just really changed, and society changes and culture changes. That book available, Ready or Not, Here I Come, still available. All of Susan's information on a website, SusanAltmanBooks.com. That's A-L-T-M-A-N. A direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I'd like to thank King Pages Press, Susan's marketing consultant, for arranging our conversation. King Pages Press, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention that it deserves. Susan, it's been a pleasure. Time has gone by way too quickly. Love the book. Love the stories that you tell. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. The book is Tattoo Chronicles, History Written in Ink by Susan Altman, A-L-T-M-A-N. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold, obviously at our website as well, a link on ours, thisweekinamerica.us. You are listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.